the Mom Genus Podcast. Two dental hygienists who became friends and later became moms, who understand the struggles, the joys, and the self-doubt of raising kids, staying sane, and working. Listen to our regular conversations about everything except the kitchen sink.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast with Christy, Jasmine, and Karen. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast. This is your co-host, Jasmine. And for this episode, we will not have our other host joining us. It will just be me by my lonesome. We do miss them. But we've got an amazing guest for this episode, and I would like to introduce you to this guest. So Ayelet Marinovich is a speech language pathologist, parent educator, and imperfect mother. Yes, that's what we like up in here, okay? Right? She is the founder of Learn With Less, which helps families feel confident they can support and connect with their babies and toddlers without having to buy a single toy. Yeah. She is the creator of the Learn With Less curriculum, the basis for which is outlined in her best-selling books, Understanding Your Baby and Understanding Your Toddler. She served thousands of families through online and in-person programs using Learn With Less and has trained a number of licensed facilitators to serve countless more families all over the world. Welcome to the show, Ayelet.
Thank you so much, Jasmine. It's so great to be here with you.
I am really looking forward to this conversation. Now, I am definitely past that baby and toddler stage. I have shut down that shop. There's cobwebs there. It ain't happening. But
I'm here.
We know that we have some listeners that this could really benefit. And so I would just love to first kind of start with your pivot into what you're doing, because you've worked as a speech language pathologist and now you're really looking at the connection between parents and their children. So we'd just love to hear more about that journey for you.
Yeah. So where to begin? I mean, when I started down the road to become a speech language pathologist, I was very, very interested in, you know, a field that would help me understand more about and work with families to support, you know, learning and connection and narrative building and, you know, just communication together and building the joy of connection and being together and helping each other. Community has always been a very important piece of, you know, a value for me in my own life. And now it is a huge part of my business. And really what I found after, you know, a few years of working as a pediatric speech language pathologist is that my passion really was within those early communicators. Mm-hmm. And I loved working in what we call early intervention, which is, working within, with families with birth to 3 year olds. And one of the reasons why I loved that work so much is that in my clinical work, so much of it is obviously giving children the tools and strategies to use language and to be motivated by language and communication and clear speech and things like that. But what's the avenue to get there is, of course, the parent and caregiver. So much of that work, even in a clinical setting, is parent education and is parent coaching. Because, you know, as a therapist, I come in and I work with a child for 45 minutes to an hour. Well, that's awesome. But unless the parent or caregiver can carry over or generalize the kinds of strategies and tools and ideas that I am, you know, showing them or modeling or facilitating within that environment, then, you know, what's the point? I also was finding that, you know, especially in grad school and as a clinician who was starting into the field, so much of what we get drawn to, I think, is the tool, right? The tool that is the the way forward in order to get to the exciting, you know, work of communicating with a child or helping a child elicit a new sound or a new word or imitate you, right? And so I think as a therapist or an educator, it's very easy to say, oh, this toy works wonders. This toy is amazing. And bringing that and, you know, bringing that into a family's home. Well, that's awesome. And that's well and good. And it's great to have, you know, toys and materials that that are highly motivating for certain children. And that tool, that specific material, that's not. Right? Like that's not the generalizing strategy. That may be a tool to get you through to the next level. But unless that parent or that family has that same toy, then you're just a therapist coming into a child's home and then taking it with you when you leave. Like, what's the point? Exactly. So really so much of what I, you know, what motivated me and what I saw was way more useful and way more powerful for families was, you know, to build in order to build their own confidence, their own, you know, capacity to be a good and see themselves as powerful, you know, partners in communication and in their child's development. I really had to show them what they already had and the power of things like everyday routines, right? Like whether we're talking about a diaper change or sitting down to a meal, or whether we're just talking about like putting on your shoes before you go outside, all of those teeny tiny little things are routines. And then also the power of just little everyday objects, right? We think about like specific toys. Well, oh, like a microphone, like a little toy microphone. That's so fun because it like amplifies the child's voice and it has this fun reverberation effect. And maybe it's going to be motivating for them to hear their echo and all that stuff. Well, guess what else is does the same thing? An empty toilet paper roll, right? Like it's so really, you know, stuff like that where you're like, okay, well, what am I really wanting to do here? And then finding ways to show families and to show myself and, you know, thinking outside of the proverbial box and realizing that it is the cardboard box that is the motivating thing, right? That really showing families that like they literally already have everything they need and they are their child's best first teacher and they can do these things literally using what they already have and without having to expend any additional like time or energy or financial, you know, expenditure to like buy certain toys that a therapist comes in with that like you don't have to have it all. You don't have to have more. That actually less is more. And we already have so much less energy and less, you know, everything bandwidth when we become new parents that really, you know, finding that what we already have is literally it. And that's all we need was very powerful for my families in my clinical work. And then I became a mother myself and realized how deeply like that, you know, hit me as a mom and realized how powerful, you know, that sentiment really is. And when I started sort of leading these like caregiver and me classes in my community that, you know, showing families how they could just insert more sort of like play and communication and music and movement into their everyday lives, that those sort of pillars of what I call play, talk, sing, and move, those are the ways, right? That's literally, if you can think about ways to insert and infuse more of those kinds of things into your everyday routines, everyday lives, with everyday objects, then you're golden. Like you're doing it. Because I think so many of us, when we come into early parenthood, we really do feel that like, you know, we question whether we're doing it right. We question whether we're doing enough as new parents. And my goal is really to like release families from that sense of feeling like they need to buy more, be more, do more, and just sort of stepping back and recognizing the value of what they already have and are doing.
You know, as I'm listening to you talk, you know, it's not entirely their fault for feeling like they aren't enough. I mean, we have There's reasons why these people get paid millions of dollars to create these marketing campaigns that make us feel inadequate as parents. And then we also have so much more on our plate. I just think of the difference between when I was being raised in the 80s, 90s versus now in the 2000s, just what I have on my plate as a parent. But going back to the fact that we're just inundated with all of these messages of we need this bottle warmer, fire breathing, you know, like
Totally.
What else are they going to come up with? Okay. Like, they just tell you need all of these things. And I just remember, for me in particular, with, first of all, we didn't have much. I was a young parent along with my husband, but, you know, I cloth diapered, I made our food, you know, and I would make it very simple, boil some carrots, mash it up, you know, just not all this elaborate stuff. We also didn't have the funds to get all that.
Right.
And yet our child still thrived.
Yep.
Right. They somehow, some way they made it. Like, I remember talking to someone that was in my mother's generation, and she was like, we didn't even use car seats. It was like, you know, some way, somehow.
Like the box of empty peaches, right? Like, that's where you sat.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, they did all types of wild stuff. And now it's like, don't drink, you know, water. Yeah. I'm exaggerating, but like, just simplicities are just now out the window. So I definitely can see how that can be challenging. So what would you say is, like, with someone that's kind of struggling, because here we are, our avatar and who we're speaking to, our listeners, they're a hygienist. And if you know of a dental hygienist, most of us are very detail oriented. We must research everything. We already are required to research things for our profession. We have to check off our list. We're looking for every little small piece of tartar calculus inside of the mouth, and we're going to get that sucker, right?
That's it.
So we're already tightly rung, okay? Yeah. Most of us are.
Yeah.
So what would you say is, like, the first step of really getting to a place of understanding that that is enough? Because there is going to be a measure of guilt.
Yes.
Because we've been programmed to think differently.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I want to go back to actually something that we were mentioning earlier and just totally, like, be totally on point and clarify that, like, yes, car seats are important, number one.
Yes, yes. Oh, wait,
right?
Wait,
like, nobody's saying or not. And also, the key here is that simplicity piece, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
It's very interesting, right? Because, like, what I was saying earlier about, like, we as parents, we think we want to do the best thing for our child. Now, number one, it doesn't matter what socioeconomic background, you know, from which you come or are in right now. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever cultural and linguistic and everything background that you have. Every single parent wants the same thing for their child, right? Which is for them to be happy, healthy, and be raised, you know, quote unquote, right, which really just means, like, you know, raise a great human, raise a kind, loving, great human. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing, I think, is that the baby industry has absolutely, as you said, Jasmine, capitalized on that feeling of vulnerability and overwhelm and feeling like new parents are not doing enough and we need to do more. And so they've created an amazing market, right? For new families who want to do the best thing for their child. And they use these words like educational toy, research-based, right? Mm-hmm. But what do you think an educational toy is, right? Like, who can use that term? Anyone can use that term. I could literally slap on the word educational toy onto a salad spinner and people would buy it if it had pretty marketing. I mean, this is the thing, right? Because, as you said, like, not everybody can afford to buy the quote unquote best quote unquote, like beautiful toys that were being marketed to and on your Instagram feed or whatever. Right.
Right.
But this is the emperor has no toys, right? Like, this is what I like to say. Like, literally, like, so many of these fancy, beautiful toy subscription boxes are sending you an empty tissue box. I mean, literally, it's like a wooden box with a hole in it that you pull out, like, these beautiful pieces of cloth. What is that? That's a tissue box. Come on. So to your point, what I believe and what in my own work, what helps families so much is, you know, adjusting our expectations. Number one, understanding what are those pieces of learning that are quote unquote expected, right? What is typical for a child of any given specific age, right? If you have a 6-month-old, what's a typical thing for them to be working on in whatever area of development, whether it's cognition, communication, motor and sensory development, or social emotional development, right? Mm-hmm. So having a basic understanding of what those things are is very, very helpful, because when you understand just a little bit about what is a reasonable expectation or what might be happening, we understand so much more about actually what our children are doing, right? So for instance, a child who is, say, around like 20 months old and is like walking or maybe even younger than that, right? Even like a year old, maybe is like pushing on things and pushing really, really hard or pulling really, really hard and walking the chair down the hallway. And you're like, oh no, don't scratch my floors. Like, yes, of course, don't scratch my floors. But there is actually a developmental basis for why that child is doing that pushing. And that's called heavy work. That is a sensory need that's actually a very regulating activity for children and all humans to do that is actually helping them. And that's like when they're, you know, using this like maximal effort on their joints, it's helping them to learn about their bodies. It's helping them to regulate their own senses and really feel good. And we buy these things called, you know, what are they called? The like pushing toys, right? Like the little ball popper one or the
beautiful
pushing toys that have like, you know, they're like have blocks and things attached to them. Yes. Like they're lovely.
Or they glitter or they light up.
Right. Yeah. When really you're doing the same, like they can do the same thing with the shopping cart when you're in the grocery store. They can do the same
That's
thing.
That's so crazy. I never even thought about that.
Right. Like the laundry basket, pushing it down the hallway. Like it's the same thing, right?
Like literally that emoji with the head blowing up is how I feel as you're just grabbing.
That's the whole point. So like that's why, for instance, I wrote the books that I did, right? So it literally like goes through and like breaks down that week by week, month by month, like what your child might be working on at any given age and stage in these areas. And then what you can do to support that child's development using these sort of pillars of play, talk, sing, and move. So what you asked essentially was, you know, what can parents do who are your people, right? Who are the people who we're talking to right now on this podcast, who are detail oriented, who want to know the research, who want to know the information, inform yourself, right? And there are so many, and that's part of the problem, right? There's so many resources out there that it can be very hard to find your boat in the water. And instead of just like, you know, feeling like you're flailing, there's just so much to listen to. So drown out the noise, find a few people who you trust as far, like there's so many amazing, innovative, early childhood, early education, like early intervention, people who are creating content on social media, on podcasts. I mean, this is what I've been doing for the last 5+ years as well. Find people who you resonate with and who speak your language, right? And who are evidence-based, right? These are words that we all speak this language of evidence-based information, right? Yep. So that's what I would start with as far as as far as new parents who are in your audience is really give yourself some information and find that bite-sized information that works for you. And that's, again, why I created what I've created.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to just take the last few kind of minutes and just talk about this concept here about connection, because generally we have lost that art as well.
Yeah.
The world is going down the drain. The way that I've been talking about some of the marketing and just like the connection piece, but we're losing it when it comes to the social media. Like, of course, you just dealt with the pandemic, which we're still in, but the connection piece of understanding how vital it is with our children and understanding that we are enough. So I'm listening to this book right now called What Happened to You by Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey. And it's talking about trauma and just how it impacts our actions and decisions that we make. And what does a regulated person, you know, operate in the world versus someone that's dysregulated. But there was something profound that they shared about a child who recently lost their parent. And just trigger warning here for anyone that may have lost their parent. But when it comes to the time that was spent with that parent, it wasn't the fancy, you know, vacations. It wasn't, you know, the parks or anything, you know, that you may take them to, theme parks, Disney World, anything extravagant. What the child remembered in that particular scenario was having a bowl of cereal at night with mom when everyone else was sleeping. And guess what? There was no elaborate toys, right? There was no gadgets. It was just human one-to-one connection. And so what we have to come down, what it boils down to is really understanding that we are enough. Like, seriously. All that a child needs is that form of connection, that genuine, deep connection of just talk, like you said, using your voice and using things that are around you. And so I kind of want to just use this last leg to talk about how important it is for us to realize that starting awareness is listening to this podcast and then following Ayelet and looking at the books that she has and her podcast and her resources to really start that work, because we have to be convinced that that's enough before we even attempt to really try to make it a consistent habit within our own interactions with our children.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that, Jasmine. It's so true. And I think, like we've been talking about this whole time, we tend to overcomplicate it, right? Like, we often are, you know, coming into new parenthood, it's like there's so many do's and don'ts. There's so many don'ts, especially right now, right? And we tend to think, okay, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't, you know, maybe I want to do this. Maybe it didn't go well. Maybe I have to find another way. You know, what am I supposed to do? What should I be doing other than just like having my baby stare at the wall, right? Like, what on earth am I supposed to do here? And I think number one, you know, it is very hard to drown out the noise. And really what it comes down to is that connection. So how do we connect with our child? What is an important way to do that? What are those pieces? And I think it can also be very hard or difficult for parents to, like, we hear these terms like child led, you know, follow your child's lead. Well, what does that actually look like, right? Like, what am I supposed to do here? And I think really, again, it comes down to play, open-ended play, helping your child explore and experiment and offering a variety of environments and not having a specific end goal in mind, right? I think as adults, we lose sight of what play is because we think of play very linearly as grown-ups, right? You play a game which has these rules. You follow the rules. You play a game of baseball. You hit the ball, right? You pitch, you hit, you catch, you run. That's repeat, right? And even when it comes to like reading books, right? You open the book. You open the book, you read the page, you turn the page, repeat. It's over. That's how you read a book. Well, guess what? For our infants and toddlers especially, that's not what play looks like at all, right? They don't play with things like that. Maybe stacking a thing of blocks, the most fun thing to do is to knock them down, right? But you're probably not even going to get up to more than two blocks with a toddler or a baby. That's not the point. So it's open-ended play and releasing ourselves from the idea that we are the ones to create the connection and sitting back and just observing and wondering aloud, imitating our children, modeling what we want to see them do, mm-hmm. being silly, adding joy into those basic everyday routines, mm-hmm. using what you already have, and just remembering that like exploration is everywhere. And it's not about like setting up ornate specific activities for any child. It's about sitting there talking about what your child is doing something and talking about what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Moving around in different ways, exploring different kinds of environments. And this does not mean having to go to a museum. This means literally just going outside. Mm-hmm. If you live in a city and what you have is sidewalks, awesome. Guess how interesting weeds and spider webs and ants and all of those and wildflowers are. If you live in a more rural or suburban setting, taking a walk down the street or down a path, like there is so much to explore, right? And even just within our own homes, our children are going to want to imitate what we're doing. This is what they do. They learn through this process of observation and imitation and interaction, both with the environment and with us. And if the more we can give them opportunities to do those things, observe, imitate, interact, the more we are providing an environment for connection and for learning, that dual aspect. And I think it's really important, right? Because we think of, you know, how like, well, this is just playtime. Well, guess what? Playtime, that's learning time, right? Learning time is playtime. So don't worry about, you know, using flashcards to drill your child on words or numbers or letters or shape. Just if you've got those kinds of materials, hide them under things and then talk about, oh, under, it was under, or, you know, put them on top of something. It was on top. Put, you know, there's so much vocabulary, rich vocabulary that we can just infuse our everyday lives with that we have just going on with what we're doing. And I was also going to say, like, I'm sure you've seen, Jasmine, like those, I don't know, people send them to me all the time, like these little sort of videos on like Facebook or Instagram about like a baby sitting in a high chair and the parent drops two items. One is a little toy and one is a remote control. One is, you know, a ball and one is an onion. And the child always goes for the everyday object. And that there's a reason for that. And that's because part of that is because, well, it's interesting, number one. And two, they see you, they are observing you in the environment, engaging with those objects as well. And it's just more fodder to understand that, like, if you like, the best toys in your home are in your kitchen. So if you don't want your child rummaging around all of your cabinets, either create a drawer for them or create a basket that you can bring out for them to explore while you're cooking, right? Mm-hmm. There is so much there and they want to do and touch and explore the things that you are touching and exploring or using in your own way. So as far as connection goes, it is all about just you're already doing it, but making these tiny little tweaks to what you're already doing. And in terms of the play, it's really just about exploring and experimenting instead of saying it has to look like this. Because if it has to look like one thing, you know a toddler doesn't want to sit down for a game. They're not going to play Monopoly, right?
Like, yeah.
That's not going to go well. But you can certainly use the game pieces. Just use them in a different way, right? Like see mm-hmm. what they do with them and then imitate them. That's what following your child's lead means, right? So that's
awesome.
That's what I would say.
This has been such a great conversation and definitely something that really is not going to end in 30 minutes. But it's just the beginning, right? It's just the beginning for many of us. So let the listeners know where they can find out more information from you.
Absolutely. Everything is over at learnwithless.com. I have the Learn With Led Learn With Less podcast. I've got a free little freebie download that I'd love to share with you. It's called the Infant Toddler Development Blueprint that I created. And it goes mm-hmm. through all of those different areas of development that I mentioned, that cognition, communication, motor and sensory, and then social emotional development. And then those four pillars of how, you know, what that actually looks like of play, talk, sing, and move, and sort of getting you to start connecting those things so that you don't have to go and buy a bunch of stuff. You can literally use what you already have. And the Learn With Less curriculum is, you know, wonderful if you are a DIYer and you just want to go into, you know, reading those books or something like that. That's great. But we also love, I know that I learn best in community and from observation of others as well, right? It's not just our children. So that's why we have Learn With Less caregiver and me classes all over the world as well. And so if you want to join something like that, then come on over. But yeah, learnwithless.com is where everything is.
Awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show, I Yell It.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thanks so much for giving me a voice here.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
Like us on Facebook.
See you next time.